AM 580 News is made possible with support from ADM, a key link between the farmer and the global marketplace for agricultural commerce. ADM, resourceful by nature. Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It is August the 30th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He's here on the site with us as we broadcast to you live from the 2006 Farm Progress Show in Amana, Iowa. Our thanks to AgriGold for inviting us into their tent for the duration of the show. AgriGold, of course, is a sponsor of the Closing Market Report. They've been funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialist, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. A little later in the program, Elwin Taylor of Iowa State Extension will join us. And Elwin, of course, is here at the Farm Progress Show site as well. Usually he's in the Iowa State tent. He'll join us this afternoon right here in the AgriGold tent. Our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, will be on hand throughout the broadcast to take a look at the weather. And we'll have a special visit from the U.S. National Women's Balloonist Champion. Sherry White will join us today. And if we get lucky, one of the WILL AM 580 staff will take a flight across the Farm Progress Show site this evening. And we might even manage to put that up on our blog site tonight so that you can take a look at some of those photos. That's one of the things we did a little extra special here at the Farm Progress Show last night. Dave Dickey and I sat down and put together a special website. We like to call it a blog, where you can see some of the adventures we've had as we've been here at the Farm Progress Show site. Just go to willag.org, and you'll find a link to our blog right up at the top of the page. Taking a look now at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange as they settled for this afternoon. September wheat at 469 and three quarters, up 9.5 cents today. That's not all that reflective of what happened in Chicago. That's the Kansas City number, by the way. The September's in Chicago, up 17 cents at 397.5. The December futures there at 416.5 for the soft red winter wheat, up 15 and three quarters. September corn futures, 228.5, up 5 3/4. December at 244 and three quarters, up 6 cents. In the March at 259.25, up 5 3/4. December futures, 294.5, up 4.5 for the day. September soybeans, 542, up a nickel. November's at 555 3/4, up 4 3/4. In January futures, 569, they were up 5 1/4. November beans for next year, 4.5 higher at 619.5. Bean meal futures, September contracted 158, down 30. September bean oil at 24.94. They were up 51 on the day. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle at 117.10, down 7.5 cents. August live cattle at 89.87.5, up 47.5. In the October at 92.92.5, they were up 40 for the day. Lean hogs October contract $66.60, up $1.22.5 on this Wednesday afternoon. We're joined now by Chuck Shelby, who's been on site with us here at the Farm Progress Show for the last couple of days, joining in on our regular 9:30, 11 o'clock, and 1 p.m. ag panels held in the AgriGold tent if you happen to be by tomorrow. And it should be a really good day on the site tomorrow. Drop by the AgriGold tent and see one of those shows. We've got a really good panel and lots of great giveaways. Chuck, thanks for joining us today. Before we get to the numbers, and I know we need to get to those fast, I got to ask you, because we talked a lot yesterday about being stuck in the mud. How'd your day end up as you tried to get out?
We got out pretty well, Todd. We moved to a different parking lot after we pushed out. So, you know, what a difference a day makes. A bright faces, sunny day, and just a fantastic day. And the market's certainly different than yesterday, too. And I got to mention, I did wash my daughter's car, so
yeah,
it is halfway clean.
Yeah, but this is a new car to your daughter. A washing is not going to work. You're going to have to pay to have that baby detailed.
To make up something, you know. But we had a great time here today and appreciate, I think a lot of Iowa farmers were exposed to Will Radio and the great job you guys do. So I think we had, you know, just fantastic day today.
It's been a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun yesterday, a lot of fun meeting all the farmers. I like being out and about and talking to the guys and seeing what's happening, you know. And I don't know whether you've had this experience, but I've had a farmer from Brazil and one from Argentina in talking about what they've seen down there. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. And it's a really neat mix of the agricultural world here. It's all of it in one large, not quite carnival aspect, but one large shopping mall for great big machinery and little bitty pieces of machinery, too.
There's everything. We can look out our front of the tent here and see a corn-burning stove right across the way, and you look out the other side of the tent and you see a four-wheel drive John Deere equipment, and it's just a wide array. And, again, as you travel around today, we've heard people from, as you say, other countries speaking foreign languages, and we saw that great crowd come in today.
Yeah, Chuck, tell me about these numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures were up 17 cents. Corn was up 5 3/4. You talked about this a little yesterday, that there might be kind of a squeeze play on in Chicago with last notice day, first notice day, I mean. And is that what happened, or are there other things that are going on?
Well, I think it's part of it. But, you know, in the last month or so, Todd, the focus of the market's been about the supply side of the U.S. crop and how big it is or how small it is. And I think we've lost sight of the fact that world supplies, again, we talked about in the panels, corn and wheat are historically tight here. And I think those world buyers with a cheap dollar have decided that, you know, well, there's a time when we're going to come by. And you also got to look at the fact that the basis, or the Gulf basis, is much higher than the futures market. So I think that adjustment on delivery is what's going on here.
And can we expect it to continue?
I think so. You know, their talk is, old talk in the markets, buy heavy deliveries. And if you're going to deliver heavy, apparently they want to buy it here and get possession. So I think it was a real optimistic, positive day to see this action happen here.
Could you go through maybe how this actually works on delivery and what that means and why the market has to jump up to meet the cash price?
It's how the futures market really works in the cash tied to farmers. If you buy a contract on the Board of Trade, you actually can get the real corn if you want it, or maybe a commercial, whoever. So when that price goes into delivery, somebody who's bought the board price, and if it's much below the cash price, they'll say, okay, fine, deliver that corn to me or that wheat to me, and we'll go ahead and take it. And we saw an excited version of that in when the wheat market exploded there. That's what happened back then, too.
So, but why does it push the price higher? I mean, I understand the delivery process, but why would the price go higher?
Because they say, I can't get the physical. The Gulf is saying, we can't get the physical from the interior. So they are saying, okay, we'll go to the delivery process at Board of Trade, and somebody somewhere is going to have to either send me those bushels and give them to me.
So so what it amounts to is that the Gulf is saying, I can't get the cash side. I know that you're going to have to deliver it to me in the next few days, because we're in delivery now. And so if I buy it today, in a week, when it goes off the border, when that happens, they're going to have to deliver it to them one way or the other.
And it's a time lag process. It's not going to get it right away. But I think that the point that's of interest here, Todd, to watch out for is, why is that interior unwilling to give up that crop? And I think that comes back. We've talked about that long-term demand, and they're looking out there at the ethanol or biodiesel and say, we want to keep that crop physically here in the United States, and if you folks want to export it, you're really going to have to come after it and pay more money.
And on the flip side of this, on the cash side, we've seen some awfully good cash prices in terms of, I don't know about good cash prices, but we've seen the cash basis narrow up and sometimes go over in the last few days. And is that's part of the process, too.
Yeah, and I think that's a key thing we talked about, and the guys we work with talk about, is cash is the important market. The futures market, with the activity of the funds, and there was fund buying today, that can be one side of the equation. But as producers, I think we want to make sure next year when we sell our crops, we want to know what that cash price is, because, again, there's a whole new world coming, a whole new bunch of buyers, and therefore cash is king now.
Let's talk about the beans just a little bit. You and I both had some conversations, I suppose, with some farmers south of the border. I talked with a Brazilian farmer today that told me that Mato Grosso, in his opinion, was going to not plant about 15% of their crop. Nationwide, that he expected maybe 8% of the crop, total crop, would not go in the ground. Since Mato Grosso is the heaviest producer of soybeans, we kind of thought that might represent what most people are thinking, about 10 or 12% of total yield in South America, and that could have a big impact on the bean market, I would think, as we go through the fall and wintertime months.
Yeah, I think it's coming down the road. I think that mixture of acres next winter is going to be very important. If we entice corn farmers to plant more corn next winter at the expense of bean acres, then there'll be a positive side to beans yet to come. But I think it points out that the current demand, the current excitement, is in the corn and wheat, and you're just going to have to wait on that bean market. Or, again, a paper position there may be a better play for a producer, to cover that with a call option so you can take advantage of that futures potential, because we're not really running out of beans right now. It may be a factor in 2008 when we get all these biodiesel plants built.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, we appreciate visiting with all the farmers, and we appreciate the Well Radio give us a chance to be here. And you guys are doing a great job, and guys are really getting exposed to really fantastic marketing information.
Chuck, we appreciate it. Thanks much. Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens, well, usually on Fridays if Mike Zuzulo is not in. Normally we would have Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services with us on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul, of course, still in the back office, in his office, and Chuck is out and about this afternoon with us here at the Farm Progress Show. Agricultural information on AM 580 made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri-Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com. Ed Keyser on hand with us now to take a quick look at a Farm Progress Show forecast. Hi, Ed.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's good to be here.
Tell me about the Farm Progress Show forecast.
The forecast for tomorrow, excellent weather. We'll start out at sunrise at about 55 degrees and warm up to the low 80s during the middle of the afternoon tomorrow. So wear layers, still have some boots as there's still some mud here and there, although we're drying things out nicely today. Tomorrow will be the best of the 3 days.
And more importantly for this evening, maybe for you or for Dave Dickey, because I've been up in a hot air balloon, and you might have that opportunity. What are the winds going to be like on the Farm Progress Show site this evening?
Well, the winds are not real strong right now, running about 12 miles per hour. So the winds are going to have to go down a little bit for flying. And as we get closer to the latter part of the afternoon and evening, the winds will maybe die down a little bit after 6 p.m. So it's going to be close, as it often is when you're ballooning. That's something you'll be talking about in a moment. Weather is really a big factor when it comes to that. But the winds will probably die down a little bit, and tomorrow morning should be decent early on.
All right, Ed. We'll talk to you again just after the bottom of the hour. Thanks
okay.
much. Ed Keyser, Chief Meteorologist here at the AM 580 radio stations. I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, coming to you today live from the AgriGold tent. We're located between 4th and 5th Street on East Avenue on the Farm Progress Show site in Amana. Come and visit us if you get the opportunity. If you haven't been to a Farm Progress Show site, it is an amazing thing. And yes, we have streets and we have avenues, and it is a big place, about 80 acres in size. If you don't know how big that is, just think about a football field. That's 3 acres on the interior of a football field. So you get the idea of how big 80 acres really is. It's a big chunk of land, and it's filled completely here with roads, streets, and tents. But they weren't here. Well, the roads were, but the tents weren't here more than 2 weeks ago. So it builds up really fast. One of the people that's seen this site from kind of a unique vantage point is Sherry White. She is with Touchstone Energy Cooperative. She's their balloon pilot and the U.S. National Women's Champion balloonist. Sherry, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Todd. It's nice to see you.
Why do you fly balloons over the Farm Progress Show site?
You know, we fly the Touchstone Energy Cooperative balloon, which is electric cooperatives around the country, rural in rural areas, and here is a great place for us to show the balloon to our members. Our members are all here at the Farm Progress Show. We've got people from all the different states. We've run into a couple of directors of co-ops here that have come by to visit, and so it's a great place for us to be. It's a great market. Flying over the Farm Progress Show this morning was a beautiful sight. Just like you said, there's tents, there's colors, right in the middle of the cornfields.
Oh, that's magnificent. And speaking of the cooperatives, you represent, Touchstone represents a lot of the cooperatives in Illinois, the Shelbyville, Illinois, the Shelby Electric Cooperative there, Coles Moultrie Electric Cooperative out of Mattoon, the Eastern Illini Electric Cooperative out of Paxton, just to name a few, Newton, Illinois, the Norris Electric Cooperative, a number of them, including Corn Belt out of Bloomington. So there are lots of those cooperatives in our area. People would probably be surprised to know that the cooperatives own a balloon.
They probably would. There's the 10 cooperatives, some of which you just mentioned in Illinois, that decided back in 2000 it would be a great way to reach their members, to tell them about the cooperative way, to go ahead and tell about Touchstone Energy Cooperative. So we flew in Rantoul, Illinois, in the championships. They got excited. put together a program. We had a balloon made, and this is our seventh year of flying the Touchstone Energy Cooperative balloon.
You have a really big balloon, it appears to me. Is that right?
You know, it's 77,000 cubic feet, so it's about seven stories tall, which is, you know, about 72 feet. It's a big balloon. There are actually bigger ones. We fly two passengers in the balloon, and it's pretty.
What colors?
It's primary colors. It's red, blue, green, orange. Then it has the Touchstone Energy Cooperative logo, which is three people holding hands, and it's got a lot of white in it. And it's a beautiful balloon, I must say.
I see that you hold a Guinness World Record.
You know, that was for flying over the Continental Divide in a hot air balloon. I flew the Touchstone Energy Cooperative balloon in Breckenridge, Colorado, up to altitudes of 16,000 feet. With oxygen, with 15 other balloons one year, and Guinness was out there recording it.
That sounds dangerous.
You know, it is a little dangerous, but I feel safer in my balloon than I do out on the freeway. I've been flying balloons since the 70s, and I'm at home up there.
What's it like?
You know, it's really beautiful and peaceful. Most people that go up think it's going to be more like a carnival ride. And before they know it, they're off the ground. They don't even realize it's that calm. And since you're going with the wind, you don't feel the actual ups and downs. And you just float along. This morning we saw a deer. We saw a beautiful buck. We saw lots of ducks over in the pond right here by the Farm Progress Show. Peaceful people coming out and waving, excited to see us. And it's just a wonderful feeling that's kind of hard to describe.
You know, I would think for a balloonist to fly for an electric cooperative would be kind of a crisscross, because I'm sure you're trying to avoid those things most of the time.
You know, you're right. Power lines are our number one concern when we do fly balloons, but we keep a good eye out on them. We always know where they are, and our electric co-ops support us, and we just keep flying the balloon.
Yeah, most of our listeners will probably know what a cooperative is, and a lot of them will probably belong to an electric cooperative, but there will be a few that aren't ag listeners that don't know. What is it?
Electric cooperatives are usually in the rural parts of America. Back in the 30s, they were set up, Roosevelt set them up, to provide electricity to the countryside, and it's a member-owned electric cooperative. You're actually a member and you own your electric cooperative. It provides electricity to you. You know, you pay your monthly bills just like you would if you were in the city and you were on an investor-owned utility, but instead you actually own your cooperative and you have a say in it, and they really work hard at providing, you know, electricity. An innovative commitment to community, you know, a lot of good ways.
And this is one of the ways that in rural America they were able to put electricity on the farm and continue to be able to push electricity out to new homes that might not otherwise get it, simply because the cooperatives are charged, relatively speaking, with the task of electrifying rural America, that it doesn't matter how many people are on the line, really, that they're charged with bringing electricity to Americans.
That's correct. That's correct. They provide a wonderful thing for our country.
I think the statistic that sticks in my mind is that an electric cooperative serves 8 customers per mile of line. That's about right.
Right.
It depends on where you are, but
right,
that's just about right. Mm-hmm. So the electric cooperative is important. Sherry, thank you much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
And really look forward to you being up in the balloon tonight, and maybe having Ed Keezer or Dave Dickey up with you. And we'll talk about that with them tomorrow afternoon. Thanks
great.
So much for being
Sounds
with
good.
Us.
Thank you.
Sherry White is with Touchstone Energy Cooperative. She is a balloon pilot for them. We appreciate her being on hand with us this afternoon. Somebody else that's on hand is a guy that's no stranger to the radio. In fact, I made my way over to the Iowa State tent. Yeah, I made it to Iowa State today just to check in on my counterpart who works with Iowa State Extension. Of course, I work with University of Illinois Extension. Doug Cooper hosts a radio program over there for Iowa State Extension. And Elwin Taylor is a young man that's on the air, right, right, Ellen?
Absolutely.
You betcha. That's on the air with them here in the state of Iowa each and every day. And he joins us from time to time on our program called Commodity Week, which airs at 11:30 on Saturday mornings, to be our guest And to take questions not only from me, Elwin, but from our panelists, too, and we appreciate that a lot. Thanks for being with us.
It's always a pleasure to be with you guys.
All right, you got to tell me, from time to time we see from you, Elwin, that there's going to be a drought and that it's setting up to be a drought, and I haven't looked at what your page says at the moment, but earlier in the year you were thinking, I thought you think it was 50-50 chance or something like that earlier in the year.
50-50 is what we were dealing with earlier, and, of course, that we've ended up on the long side of that, I guess, the favorable yield side, and nobody's complaining about that that I know of. The 50-50 reason was, first, we're due for a major drought in the Corn Belt. They come along every 18 to 20 years. We've looked at tree rings for the past 800 years in the eastern half of the United States. The longest period of time between major droughts is 23 years in the past 800. The last major drought we had was 1988.
Now, there are some that might recognize that 18 years as the Benner cycle.
That's the name it commonly goes by. As far as we know, Benner didn't originate the idea, but it was sort of like Henry Ford made it the car popular. The Benner cycle is he was aware that droughts tend to come every 18 or 19 years on the average. And this is the real serious ones.
You know, if you look at if you're looking at tree rings, do you do that on a geographic spread, and can you see how widespread a drought might be, relatively speaking?
Well, you can if you can get enough people to help you with the analysis.
Well, you work for Iowa State. I know how that goes. Never mind.
So we do what we can do and what we know, and we have a few good trees in a few good places that have been analyzed well, and that's been a real help to understanding the cycles that we have in the weather. There's not just this droughts coming about every 18 years or at least within every 23 years, but also there is a period of time, maybe 40 years that tend to be wet, followed by 40 years that tend to be on the drier side than those 40. And that's the thing we have to be very careful of, because now we're getting close to finishing up one of those 40 years of wetness and go into a little drier. We think they're already feeling that down Arizona way.
So what do you consider the last big drought, 88?
1988 was the last major drought in the U.S. Corn Belt.
And so we are where in the cycle, 12 and 6, so we're at 18 years, right?
We're at 18. The next year, if next year turned out to be the major drought, it would be right on schedule. But, of course, droughts don't read the book.
Does the chance of a drought on the Benner cycle percentage then go up each and every year that it passes without the drought at that point?
No, it doesn't. And as we've looked back at the cycle, we can see that that percentage doesn't likely change. It's just that each year during the 6 years of high risk, which started 2 years ago, and we'll go for a couple more years, the chance is three times as high as it was any given year during the previous 12. And that's the best we can say on that. Now, we do know a couple of other things. One, in the 150 years or so, we've got good records. We have not had a widespread drought during an El Nino, and we've got an El Nino right now.
All right, Elwin, we thank you much and look forward to having you on Commodity Week again sometime soon. Elwin Taylor with University of Iowa. I almost moved you across the state. Iowa State University Extension, where he, of course, is a Cyclone. I'm Todd Gleason, University of Illinois Extension, and an Illini. We're live in the AgriGold tent here on the Farm Progress Show, right next to John Deere, located between 4th and 5th Streets on East Avenue. If you have the opportunity, come out and see us. I'll return in just about 2 minutes when we'll talk with Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The DeWitt County Coroner says he plans to hold inquests this evening in the deaths of three children who drowned in Clinton Lake nearly 3 years ago. Coroner Alex Calvert said at the time that Christopher Hamm, Austin Brown, and Kylie Hamm had drowned. Their deaths are being reviewed for the upcoming trial in October of the children's mother, Amanda Hamm. Her former boyfriend, Maurice Legrone Jr., has already been found guilty of the murders. He is serving a life prison sentence. Illinois Senate Republican candidate Judy Meyer says she would support the elimination of hikes in licensing and inspection fees that have occurred under Governor Blagojevich's administration. Myers unveiled her economic priority plan today. It also calls for the use of tax credits and a statewide manufacturing enterprise zone to lure companies to Illinois. Myers is running against Democrat Mike Frericks for the 52nd District State Senate seat. The Clinton nuclear power plant is back online. The plant shut down automatically on Sunday when a power supply to instrumentation malfunctioned. Plant personnel traced the problem to a separated solder joint on a circuit board wire. The circuit board was replaced, and the Clinton plant resumed supplying electricity to the power grid at about 11 last night. Indiana House Republicans are scheduled to unveil their plans at this hour to reform the state's Bureau of Motor Vehicles. The plan is scheduled to include some privatization of license branch functions. The Indiana BMV permanently closed 24 branches last year. The Illinois Inspector General says thousands of state employees didn't spend enough time reviewing a computerized ethics test, and that means they flunked the exam. The Springfield State Journal Register today reported that some workers spent less than 10 minutes on the annual training, even though it has 80 pages. Peabody Energy is pressing ahead with plans for a $2 billion power plant in Washington County after getting approval of an air pollution permit. The plant near Marissa is expected to create 450 permanent jobs, and the governor's office says it's the biggest private capital project ever planned for Southern Illinois. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture, coming to you today live from the Farm Progress Show in the AgriGold tent located between 4th and 5th Street on East Avenue. Time now to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, on site with us today. Ed, first off, thanks for joining us during our ag panels here in the AgriGold tent at 9:30, 11, and 1 o'clock daily. I know
we'll
the
have
farmers.
That tomorrow.
Oh, and tomorrow.
9:30. 11 and 1.
You bet. 9:30. What time are they again?
9:30, 11 and 1. In the AgriGold tent, we'll have our Commodity Week Outlook panels, similar to what we do around the two-state area during the course of the year.
You betcha, and we appreciate you being on with those for the past couple of days. Looking forward to having you on tomorrow during those shows as well. How many Farm Progress Show sites have you been on, and how many different years?
I think I was just counting up, number of years, 13. This is the second time I've been at this site, and this is my first repeat site. 16 years ago, we were here in Amana, the 1990 show.
Oh, yeah, and I was here with you at
you
that
were
time.
Here?
I was
yes.
employed by the radio station at that time as opposed to U of I Extension. So that seems like
I can't believe how time flies.
That's forever and a day ago. But there's been a lot of yield and a lot of harvest that have happened since then. And harvest is on its way. There might be a few people moving around maybe there in the state of Illinois, states of Indiana. What kind of weather will they have, or are they just stuck?
It's damp right now. There's not any heavy rain falling, although a few isolated showers are popping up that are bringing a little heavier brief moments of rain, and around the Champaign-Urbana area, the rain has just pushed off to the southwest. And yeah, I said that correctly, to the southwest. The showers are moving northeast to southwest today across central Illinois. And there are some showers popping up as far north as Bureau County on westward over into Mercer County around Aledo. And some may even sneak into southeast Iowa around Burlington. But here at the Farm Progress Show, it's dry and will remain dry through tomorrow. The western Midwest having a couple of days here of dry weather, while the eastern Midwest stays on the cloudy, cool, kind of damp side, mostly just drizzle and light showers. But a very, very slow-moving upper low was pushing off to the east, and it's taking its good old time.
You know, tomorrow we may have a few of our Illinois and Indiana listeners that decided to stay home the first couple of days and might be wanting to make a trip out here to the Farm Progress Show to collect, if they drop by and tell us they listen to WILO Radio, one of our brand-new AM 580 agriculture hats. What kind of weather can they expect?
Beautiful weather tomorrow. We're expecting the morning start temperature around 55, but that's before the show even opens at 8 a.m. By 8 a.m., we'll be in the 60s, and by 2 p.m., we'll probably be up around 80 to 82 degrees, lots of sunshine, and the show is open tomorrow 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And, of course, we'll be here with our weather and agricultural programming for AM 580. And again, those panels at 9:30, 11, and 1.
Thanks much, Ed.
My pleasure.
Ed Kieser, Chief Meteorologist at WILL AM 580, joining us today right here on site in the AgriGold tent on the Farm Progress Show site. That is today's closing market report. Remember a couple of things. Visit our website at WILLAG.org if you'd like to see what's been happening in the world of agriculture and AM 580. And to check out that blog site that Dave Dickey and I put together last night. It's a little different than most of the things that you see from us, so you might want to go see that. It's a lot of fun. We'll try to add something to that tonight as well. It's at WILLAG.org. Click on the link for blog. You have a great afternoon. I want one more thing to tell you, that ag programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Our thanks to Farm Credit Services and all the underwriters on AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.